Life is precious when a woman wants a baby, but it's disposable when she doesn't.
So is the life of the baby dependent on the woman and not on absolute values?
This is Bob Boyd.
And Jerry Boyd.
This is Issues in Education.
Charlie Kirk is the founder of Turning Point USA, and he goes on to college campuses to present the gospel and conservative ideas to many who have never heard this message. And he is so powerful and excellent.
Charlie Kirk calls abortion the Holocaust of our time, with 1.5 million abortions every year in America.
One young man challenged Charlie Kirk, claiming that abortion was necessary to save the life of the mother and to stop the death of the mother.
I want to limit unjust human suffering and stop the Holocaust of our time, called the 1.5 million abortions every single year. Democrats think it's cool and they want to subsidize with taxpayer dollars. We don't want the same thing.
They want to stop death. Women
who do not get abortion, this health.
Abortion is for the person who's trying to survive.
Wait, hold on.
The human being who's carrying that child most times doesn't have an option. If they don't get this, they will die.
You know, 99.9% of all abortions are not because of even incest, rape, or life of the mother. There are only a couple hundred cases of life of the mother every single year, and there are 1.4 million abortions every single year. 99.9% of the time, according to the abortion-funded Guttmacher Institute, these are abortions of choice. These are abortions that have become a form of birth control.
Nobody chooses to have an abortion. They have to.
I have to say, that's one of the most outrageous things I've heard in 12 years of doing this. So when a woman walks into an abortion clinic, she doesn't choose to do that. She has to do that.
First of all, most of the time people go to abortion clinics, they don't have the resources in order to actually take care of...
Okay, so let's pretend you're right, which you're not, because we have food stamps, we have Section 8 housing, we have charitable
help. Which they don't give out easily.
Well, no, actually, we do very easily. Let's pretend they have no money. Is it right to murder if you don't have enough money to support that being?
When a person is in the hospital, they know the fact that the child will die.
What do you mean it will die? What are you talking about? 99.9% of all abortions are abortion of election. The baby is perfectly healthy. The mom is perfectly healthy.
You really
They're
believe
of
that,
just age.
And you say I'm brainwashed.
Well, that's the Guttmacher Institute, which is funded by Planned Parenthood, that published the study that said that they're abortions of selection and election, not mother's life is
so
at risk.
So how many people who had abortions do you know personally?
A couple. And they all regret having abortions, actually.
I'm a medic. Yes.
Wait, hold on. You're a medic and you really don't know what you're talking about. That's horrifying. Since you're a medic, when does brain waves begin for a baby?
Within the first 4 weeks.
Yeah, okay. How about heartbeat?
6 weeks.
Right. So how is that not a life if it has a heartbeat and brain waves?
When you have this child inside you, the baby is supposed to...
Oh, it's called a baby now.
Children.
Oh, now it's a baby. We got him, everybody. You see, this is the key of the abortion argument. It's a fetus. It's a clump of cells. But every so often, they'll use the word baby. And you and I both know, babies deserve constitutional protection
against
murder.
Then where is the help for them once they're born?
The help? I'll tell you the help. We give them Medicaid. We give them charitable assistance. There's people... We know we have 2 million people on the adoption waiting list. Two times as many people on the adoption waiting list than abortions every single year.
How many people do you know actually adopted a child?
A lot, actually. How many of you guys were adopted? A lot of people. Look at all these miracles of adoption around you. Praise God that your mom didn't have an abortion. These are all miracles that I'm glad that your mom had the courage to put you up for adoption and have somebody else raise you so that you could be here today and enjoy life.
You have not addressed at all the women who are literally going septic.
No.
Go into the hospital.
First of all, let's talk about the septic thing. Literally die in the parking lot. No, okay.
Why is that okay?
These cases are so exceedingly rare. Let me address it. You're talking about 10 or 12 cases a year in 1.5 million abortions a year. No person in this
audience...
Those
numbers aren't accurate.
No, they are, actually.
1.5 million.
Yes, they're...
Yeah. As soon as I had that abortion...
Come on up to the microphone.
My doctor told me that me and my baby were going to die if I didn't get an abortion.
And was he wrong?
18 weeks. After I had the abortion, my doctor informed me that my life was actually not at risk, and I was fully liable for paying for the entire abortion.
So what about all the people who aren't you? What about the people who do very sick and die?
Just so you're clear, you are arguing on the extreme of the extreme. Let's say abortion can be legal if the mother's life is in danger. Would you then say outlaw all the other abortion? You've been going all in. All of your chips are about life of the mother. So I will grant it for you. Let's say no abortion, life of the mother, okay? But then, therefore, if you say your life is at risk, you can get an abortion. Shouldn't all the other abortions be illegal then?
If you have the social system set up to actually help these people raise the children, there wouldn't be an
issue. Oh, so it would be like, I don't know, food stamps? It's really interesting, though, because then what do you have to say about the alarming amount of abortions that come from people that earn more than six figures a year? It's not about resources. It's about values. I will never argue for the murder of a baby just because you don't have enough money in the bank account. By no moral standard is it ever okay to be able to interfere with the life of another because your life might be minorly disrupted. For example, if you have a three-year-old in your house and you lose your job, can you murder a three-year-old because it makes it easier to pay the grocery bill? Of course not.
I understand entirely where trying to take care of a child is. I lost one. I understand more than anybody how damaging that is.
I'm sorry that happened.
Type 1 diabetes took my 10-year-old from me.
So your 10-year-old was taken from you?
Yes.
Then people that are not as developed as your 10-year-old is in the womb, you are turning a blind eye to.
It's not the same
thing. This is important. Why is it not the same? What is the difference between a baby that's 10 weeks in the womb and your 10-year-old? What is the moral difference?
The baby that's coming is something that
baby,
you need.
Baby, got it. Yep. But what is it? Is that they're not as big?
No, it's three things.
Okay.
You need resources. You need ability to consistently
care. No, that's not the point. I'm talking about moral worth, not resources.
This is the same thing.
The baby's in utero. How is that baby any morally different than your 10-year-old?
The child that is being developed isn't here yet.
What do you mean not here yet? I can see it on an ultrasound.
I totally get you're saying that. So there is a lot that goes into raising children, and people don't have the resources, the tools, the mental stress.
We as conservatives refuse to ever say that murder is acceptable based on...
Except for when you want it in prison.
The death penalty for murderers?
Yes.
The death penalty is not murder, it's killing, two different things. We have two different words. So murder is the taking of a defenseless, innocent life. Yeah, those are two different things.
Yes.
Okay, great. But do you actually think that someone who's on death row for raping and murdering an entire family is the moral equivalent of a baby that is in the womb? It's administering justice. The baby in the womb...
Is it? Most of the time they're mentally ill. 90% of the time, these people don't know what they're doing.
Last question. Do you believe that abortion should be legal if the mom finds out that her baby has Down syndrome? It's a yes or no question, and it's a morally important one.
You're equating Down syndrome to terminal illnesses.
No, because, hold on.
Because that's a straw hair argument.
It's not an argument, it's a question. I will say it should be illegal to be able to terminate a baby if you find out it has Down syndrome. What say you?
A baby should not be terminated for any other reason than protecting the life of the mother.
So how do you define life for the mother then?
Anything that can severely hinder her quality of life.
Got it.
Her ability to...
This is important. So when you guys hear life for the mother, they don't mean that the mom's going to die in the emergency room. He just said quality of life. So if it might be that you can't go clubbing anymore or
that
might
mean...
That is
not what I was saying.
Oh no, you said quality of life.
Yes, there's
that
more
is
to quality of life than just clubbing. I literally mean being able to go outside, being able to stop postpartum depression.
I don't believe that just because a baby is smaller, not as developed, happens to be in a womb and dependent on a mom, they're of lower moral worth than the people in this audience.
As Charlie Kirk said, the definition of the life of the mother has come to mean the quality of her life or the convenience. 97% of abortions are done for convenience. So a baby is defined out of being a protected human life by some people because it's unseen, smaller, located inside, and dependent upon its mother.
Another thing we learned from Charlie Kirk is when they use the word fetus, don't buy that. It means little human. Charlie Kirk joined Seth Gruber in this lively debate with students. Seth Gruber is founder and president of the White Rose Resistance and host of a podcast entitled Unaborted. The first question a girl asks is, how can we really know what's right and wrong if it's not specifically mentioned in Scripture?
How would you address someone who claims to be Christian yet says that we won't truly know what God believes is right and wrong until Jesus comes back to earth?
Yeah, so this is an interesting argument. What you're getting at, we hear this a lot. Have you ever heard a pastor or Christian say something like, I speak where the Bible speaks, and I'm silent where the Bible's silent? Kind of to what she's saying, how can we truly know what God thinks is right or wrong until he comes back? So I'm just going to address what's in the Scriptures. It's actually one of the dumbest statements ever said by Christians. Here's why. There's plenty of things that our Savior does not condemn. That doesn't mean the Scriptures condone those behaviors. What are some examples? Did you know the Bible doesn't forbid the lynching of homosexuals? But guess what? I can still know that's wrong because I'm grounded in a Christian worldview that says man and woman has dignity and value and rights because they're created in the image of their God who entered human history in a uterus. So lots of Christians who say that do not read the Bible, do not take it seriously.
Well said, yeah. And if that person calls themselves a Christian, they should read their Bible more. They don't know what God says is right or wrong.
Seth and Charlie, I'm actually on staff at a church in Austin, and I have the honor and privilege of giving the message to our congregation the Sunday before the election. I actually requested it. If either one of you were me and you had the ear of a congregation on that Sunday, what would you say?
Wow. What would I say? Yeah, I would do a exegetical analysis of Zechariah. No, look, you got to lean in, and I think you should be right up front, and you should say, listen, the Bible commands us to care about our nation. Cite it biblically. Jeremiah 29:7. Talk about Esther, Mordecai, Nehemiah, Jeremiah, all try to influence secular government for God's purpose. And then talk about three things that everyone should be able to agree with and say, this is not political, it's biblical. God created man and woman, life begins at conception, and that churches are more important than strip clubs, and we're never going to allow the church to be locked down again. And then you should just pause and say, I want every single person to have a fulfilled ballot. I am going to ask you to pray and to fast before you make that decision of which person has the set of policies that would be most in alignment with the natural law and biblical truth. And then I would give a call to action, which is, I don't want a single person not to fill out a ballot on Tuesday. But those three things are uncompromising. It is no question of biological reality, when life begins, and the church's importance, and how the government crushed the church over the last couple years. And I just want to commend you and encourage you. And honestly, if every pastor in America gave a sermon as simple as that, the Sunday before the election, righteousness would prevail. Amen. God bless you, man. That's beautiful. Seriously.
Can you explain more of how the abortion procedure works?
There are four primary different forms of abortion. The most popular today, and it's accounting for 50% or more now, actually, of the abortions, is RU486. That's the abortion pill. The first regimen of the abortion pill cuts off the hormone progesterone, the lining of the uterus breaks down, and the baby starves to death. Then you have suction abortions, aspiration abortions, which just sucks limbs off. Then you have dismemberment abortions, and that's forceps. That's clamping, that's tearing, and when the white paste starts flowing, you know you got the baby's brains. And then you have induction abortions, and this is when a needle is inserted into the baby's skull or heart, injected with potassium chloride, which, by the way, is very similar they use on death row to kill inmates. Isn't that interesting? The baby goes into cardiac arrest, and then you deliver a dead child.
That's the PG version. If anyone is pro-abortion, I just challenge you to go learn as much as you can about it. And if you remain pro-abortion after you really realize the medieval brutality of the procedure, then that's on you. But I guarantee you, if 99% of pro-abortion people understood the horrific nature of that procedure, I think it would open a lot of eyes. I asked Seth to water that down because there's an R-rated version, which is the accurate version, by the way. It's sick. It really is. Thank you for your question. Appreciate it.
Seth, I loved how you debunked every single pro-abortion argument. The left has been using the same arguments for abortion for literally decades. But one argument that I'm finding really hard to debunk is the argument of, you don't care about the baby after it's born. You don't care what happens to it. You don't care if it's fed or if it's clothed or if it grows up in a good home, yada, yada, yada.
Pretty good.
So the argument goes like this. You can't truly be pro-life, and you haven't proven your pro-life convictions unless you're caring for all of the children not aborted. So I have to somehow prove my moral position through more than standing against the killing of the babies in the womb, but through the adopting, the raising, or the financing of children already born. If that's true, then I say, then you, pro-abortion advocate, you cannot show the true courage of your pro-abortion convictions unless you start ripping arms and legs off. Very interesting response. They go, because let me tell you something. Most people, after they start ripping arms and legs off, they're done. They're done with that industry. And by the way, this is why many, especially more conservative states, guess what? They have a really hard time finding enough surgical abortionists because a lot of people don't want to do that work, right? And then we're told that you're not even pro-life unless you're adopting all the babies. Let's assume I'm a child-abusing, degenerate father. And then I say, you, church, can't oppose me beating my toddler unless you're willing to adopt him. And you would say, I'm not going to adopt your kid, but like, stop beating him. And your anti-toddler torturing position would still be valid even if you weren't adopting the toddlers being beaten. Does that make sense? So why should it be any different on the abortion issue? And don't let people who slaughter unborn children at the tune of a million a year pontificate about morality. And don't let people who slaughter unborn children through all 9 months of pregnancy, and you have the gall to judge me from a moral framework?
They lecture me because they say, you're not pro-life, because I think that God has a better future in store for you. I believe everyone here has a heart for all people made in the image of God, and we believe a free society is the best way for those people to flourish.
Yeah,
thank you.
Amen.
First of all, thank you guys both for being here. When it comes to the mother's health, I was tricked by that as well, and I kind of held that in point of view if it was the mother's health. But can you elaborate on the mother's health?
Yeah, there's been a lot of studies on abortion's link to negative consequences for the mother, breast cancer and mental health. But what you'll hear the pro-abortion side say is that there are no negative consequences for mom's health following an abortion. We did a podcast, if you scroll down on my podcast, Unaborted, called Proof That Abortion is Linked to Breast Cancer, Preterm Labor, and Mental Health. It comes down to this. The abortion industry hones in on the two or three studies of about 70 or 80 that showed that there was no negative consequence, and then they ran that as the CNN headlines. It gets repeated in academia. And they said health can refer to familial, emotional, basically anything that you wanted to define it as to justify that third trimester abortion. What does emotional health mean? What does familial health mean? Does that mean you got in a fight with your husband and it kind of made you a little stressed out? No blows were thrown. It was just some yelling. And so now I need an abortion. Yeah, that. And guess who gets to define whether the mother's definition of health is the appropriate legal definition to meet the standard for a third trimester abortion? The abortionist. Oh, I'm sure he has no financial incentive to adopt her definition of health, because guess which abortions pay the best? Late-term abortions. So that's a little bit about how they've used health to basically ramrod through abortion through point of birth. But yeah, if you look at the studies, the breadth of the studies shows an overwhelming link of negative health consequences for the mother following the abortion.
Yeah, 99% of all abortions are done electively and are done for convenience.
Socioeconomic
reasons, according to the Pro-Abortion Guttmacher Institute. We're talking about such a fraction of a fraction that are rape, incest, and even less so of even if you're able to get to that definition of life of the mother. And so I always flip it. Whenever this comes up, I always flip it. And I say, let's not get too drawn into theoretics or abstractions. Do you think that the 99% socioeconomic is wrong? And they'll never admit that. It's never about that.
Just tell them, if I give you rape and incest and life of the mother for a second, will you join me to fight to end the 98% of all other abortions? And they always say no, to which I say, then why are you hiding behind rape victims to make yourself look more compassionate?
Yeah, because they can't debate on anything else. Thank you for being here.
So I'm just curious to know what you would say to someone who says that they have no other option but to abort their baby because they can't financially support it and they don't want to contribute to overcrowded orphanages.
Oh, wow. Or foster care, yeah. So pregnancy resource centers outnumber abortion centers in this country more than 2 to 1. Most people don't know what a pregnancy resource center is, and we have some politicians who say that they torture pregnant women. Last year, Google made sure that pro-lifers couldn't promote ad spend for the abortion pill reversal. Well, the abortion pill reversal is just progesterone, so it gives her more of what the abortion pill was breaking down to help save the pregnancy. And now they're saying pregnancy resource centers are the peddlers of misinformation. Misinformation? You mean when I go to Planned Parenthood's website and I try to find out what a suction abortion is, and it says that it gently suctions out the pregnancy tissue. Pregnancy tissue. Guys, there's no such thing as pregnancy tissue. Pregnancy is not a thing, it's a condition. Conditions don't have tissue. So if you're pregnant, what are you pregnant with? Well, if you're a human being, you're pregnant with another human being, so that's human tissue. And these are the people lecturing us on the peddling of misinformation. Those pregnancy resource centers that are heroes, they outnumber abortion centers more than 2 to 1, and they provide almost all of the same services that Planned Parenthood does, minus the baby butchery part, and they do it all for free. There are plenty of ministries to provide care for women who need help. But the church ought to be the ones on the front lines, making sure that we're not prostituting our spiritual obligation to pregnancy centers and letting them do it while we make ourselves feel really good, but actually getting involved, being the hands and feet of Jesus to women who are hurting and need help.
Yeah. Now that Roe versus Wade is repealed, the church has to step up and have a no-excuse policy of anybody who's pregnant will receive help and love, acceptance with all of that, regardless of circumstances. That's an awful argument that person made, which is, who the heck cares about your feelings? There's another being involved here. It's completely irrelevant about your own perspective. You think the termination of a being is going to be best for them? Death is not the best for an individual. That's not your call to make. which is this kind of narcissistic ideology, narcissistic philosophy that has invaded mostly our schools, which it's all about you. By the way, this is why we have the most depressed, suicidal, medicated, alcohol-addicted, drug-addicted, and psychiatric drug-taking generation in history. It actually creates very miserable people because they're so focused on themselves and they're not focused on serving other people.
Yep.
And more important, serving God. Like, just think about yourself a little less for the next 30 minutes.
He's saying about, oh, they're going to have a hard life in foster care and orphanage. So what, lynch them now? I mean, what in the world? So you need to understand that is the eugenic philosophical tradition of Margaret Sanger. That's the philosophy that influenced Hitler. Adolf Hitler's director of genetic sterilization, Alfred Rosenberg, appropriated the German term Untermensch from the English version, meaning subhuman, the Jews, eugenics, we don't want them to live. That's the eugenic Nazi-esque tradition that they're espousing when they say they're going to have a rough life, and we, as the high priests of secular progressivism, we get to decide what level of suffering is appropriate and whether we'll let you live or not.
If you don't believe a human being has a soul, then why not dispose of them? They're not useful to your aims and ambitions. As soon as you believe human beings have a soul, everything changes. You remove God, really bad things start to happen.
Women now acknowledge it's a baby, but they still say that they have the right to kill it. So what is your advice?
Yeah, welcome to humanism. Yeah, Francis Schaeffer once defined humanism as placing man at the center of all things and making him the measure of all things. You displace God in Christianity, you can justify anything. We laugh at honor and are shocked to find traitors in our midst. We castrate and bid the geldings be fruitful. You can justify anything, even genocide, even Holocaust, even killing. Humanism has been the bloodiest, most deadly religion we have ever seen.
Exactly right.
And Margaret Sanger's body count is greater than Mao's, Stalin's, and Mussolini's combined. More human beings were murdered in the 20th century than all of the tyrants and homicidal maniacs of the entire world history before the 20th century, thanks to humanism. So the acknowledgement that the victim is a human, but it doesn't matter, is nothing new, it's very ancient. So when we as Christians refuse to contend against that alternative religion, we're refusing to fulfill the role God gave us, to love neighbors, to hold back those staggering towards slaughter, and to expose the deeds of darkness, because we're not demanding our rights, we're exercising our responsibility.
Just a C.S. Lewis quote, you only know a line is crooked if you have a straight line to compare it to. Yeah. And that straight line is God, it's the Bible. If it's just evolution and you roll the dice and we happen to get reason and intellect and consciousness of a multi-million year accident, then yeah, sure, wipe them out. There's nothing special about it. But again, if a human being, God spoke into existence, we're image bearers of that being, then all of a sudden, we do not have a moral right to be able to eliminate that being. Everything changes.
We've been listening to students' Q&A session with Seth Gruber and Charlie Kirk of Turning Point USA. Some of the questions asked were, explain abortion procedures, and Seth Gruber said 50%, get that, 50% of all abortions are done with RU486, the abortion pill that cuts off the hormone progesterone, so the lining of the uterus breaks down and the baby starves to death.
Horrible. So it really doesn't matter if a state provides abortion or not, if they can just get this pill.
Another student asks, what if a woman has no other option but to abort their baby because they can't afford to support it?
Most abortions, 97%, are done for convenience or economic reasons. It's simply not what I want to do with my life now, so it's more convenient for me to end the life of this little child in my womb.
It's trying to undo a pregnancy, but you can't undo a pregnancy. When you're pregnant, you're a mother. Abortion simply makes you the mother of a dead baby. Others would say, we need to keep abortion legal so a woman won't have an unsanitary back alley abortion. That's like saying we need to make murder safe and legal, otherwise it might be dangerous for the murderer.
Abortion is killing a live person, not simply removing tissue. The place to stop abortion is to not get pregnant.
Another argument was, it's my body, so it's my choice. But how can a little baby boy be part of a female's body? It's not just part of your body, but another body inside you.
Another argument would say abortion should be legal for a woman who was raped or the victim of incest.
But would you want to kill a one-year-old child who was the product of rape or incest? Of course not. So the only difference is age. It's okay to kill it when it's little and out of sight, but not when it's born. In the eyes of the law, if a pregnant woman is shot and the baby dies and the mother lives, the person who shot her is guilty of murder. He killed the baby. The baby's recognized as a person in the eyes of the law.
People who say, "I'm personally against abortion, but I think the choice should be left to each woman," change the word abortion and substitute the word murder, and you get this: "I'm against murder, but I think murder should be left to each person."
And that's really what it is. Abortion is murder. From God's perspective, there's no difference between a born baby and an unborn baby. Both are fully human.
If you would like a CD copy of today's program, please ask for number 1920, Abortion Debate Part 1. That's 1920, Abortion Debate Part 1. The CD also includes next week's program, Part 2. You can order a CD copy of this program or download a podcast from our website at issuesineducation.org. That's issuesineducation.org. Or for a CD, please call us at 928-776-0000. That's 928-776-0000. From Proverbs 24, verse 11, "Rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those staggering towards slaughter." For Issues in Education, this has been Bob and Jerry Boyd.